Many aphasic patients can get not only the words of songs, but can learn to repeat sequences or series, days of the week, months of the year, numerals, etc. They may be able to do this as a series, but not to disembed a particular item from the series. So, one of my patients, for instance, can recite all the months of the year in order: January, February, March, April, May. He knows what the current month is, but when I ask him, he cannot respond simply, April. Indeed, aphasics may be able to reproduce much more elaborate familiar sequences, a prayer or lines from Shakespeare or an entire poem, but only as automated sequences. Such sequences unfold, once they are started, in much the same way as music does. Hewlings-Jackson long ago distinguished propositional speech from what he called, variously, emotional, ejaculate, or automatic speech, stressing that the latter could be preserved in aphasia, sometimes to a startling extent, even when the former was grossly impaired. Cursing is often cited as a dramatic form of automatic speech, but singing familiar lyrics can be seen as equally automatic. A person with aphasia may be able to sing or curse or recite a poem, but not to utter a propositional phrase. The question of whether singing has any use in the recovery of speech, then, can be formulated another way. Can language embedded in unconscious automatism be released for conscious propositional use? During the Second World War, A.R. Luria began to investigate the neural basis of speech and language, of different forms of aphasia, and of methods for restoring speech. His work was published in Russian in a massive monograph, Traumatic Aphasia, in 1947, and in a small, startling book, Restoration of Function After Brain Injury, in 1948, though neither was translated or known in the West until several decades later. Given an acute injury to the brain, such as he saw in the stroke patients or injured soldiers he studied, Luria emphasized there would always be two levels of disturbance. First, there was a core of tissue destruction, which was irreversible, and second, a larger surrounding area or penumbra of depressed or inhibited function, which, under certain conditions, he felt might be reversible. When one first meets a patient immediately after a stroke or head injury, one sees only the total effects of injury, paralysis, aphasia, or other disabilities. It is difficult to distinguish disabilities produced by anatomical damage from those produced by inhibition of the surrounding neural tissue. Time will show the difference in most patients, for inhibition tends to lift spontaneously, usually in a matter of weeks. But in some patients, for reasons that are still unclear, it does not. At this point, if not before, it is crucial to start therapy, to promote what Luria called de-inhibition. Speech therapy may lead to de-inhibition, but it may sometimes fail. If it fails, one may wrongly assume that the patient's aphasia is due to permanent anatomical damage and is thus irreversible. But music therapy for some patients can succeed where conventional speech therapy has failed, as in the case of Samuel S. It may be that cortical areas previously inhibited but not destroyed can be de-inhibited, kick-started into action, by re-experiencing language, even if it is of a wholly automatic sort, language embedded in music.